Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1064. This is your host, Danny. And this episode, originally I was going to have Paris, but something popped up last minute that he couldn't make it. But I have here my friend from Throwdown Podcast. We have Tony here. Man, what's going on, Tony?
What is going on, Danny, man? Thanks for having me on, and shout out to Paris. We're not going to blow up his spot, but he's doing something pretty cool today, so that'll be fun when that comes out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because originally we wanted to have all three of us together to talk about some stuff that we've been going back and forth in our private chat. And also, you know, we saw a lot of activities online on Twitter, so we were like, yo, we should just record and talk about this, you know what I'm saying? So right now, things has been a little bit too quiet, because a lot of companies are saving their announcements for Gamescom, and hopefully we might hear more next month in September. So we are going to talk about a couple of things that we've just been going back and forth about. But before we start a conversation, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Subscribe, follow us, post a review. It'll help us out to spread the word about the show. Also, if you'd like to be part of our fan mail episode, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so Tony, first of all, how's Throwdown? I know you make some changes. Now you went from SoundCloud to Audio Boom, and how's that so far since you started the whole change for your show?
Yeah, no, it's been good so far. And obviously, before I even get into any of that, I want to thank you for that. You know, we were chilling at Bryant Park one of our times. We do that a lot recently, which is dope. And you were giving me a lot of suggestions about how to grow Throwdown, specifically the audio side of it. And you're like, you know, because you guys use your Audio Boom, or like, you guys should do this. So, you know, I took your advice and we moved over, basically, and it's been great. Like, even it took like us maybe a little over a week to get back to our normal numbers, like when it comes to listens and downloads. And now I'm noticing it's picking up. Like, we're already over 1,000 listens overall just for being here for 3 weeks. Yeah. And it's been really good, man, you know, because now we're available on like literally any podcast app on the planet. You know, I did some digging. There's even some apps that aren't like selectable on Audio Boom that we're on anyway, you know, because, you know, I guess once we're there, we get picked up by everything. But yeah, the big ones are, you know, Apple iTunes. We got Spotify. We got
Google Podcasts.
Google Podcasts. Yeah. That's another big one, you know. So it's been great, man. So, you know, publicly, I want to thank you for that, man. That's been a big help, brother.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, the word of advice for any podcast, and I know, Tony, you probably don't know about this, but if you submit your show through Apple Podcasts, then you will be available on multiple apps that's not on Audio Boom. The reason is a lot of those apps, they pick up content, all the podcasts from the app of Apple Podcasts. So that's why you that's why you got to see a lot of other apps with your show. You know,
yeah.
So that's good.
And I noticed I was like, because like I forgot which one it was specifically, but I was like, wow, we already got subscribers on this app, and I never officially signed us up for it. That's because, like you said, it's probably because of Apple beforehand. You know,
yeah,
which is really dope.
Yeah, so it's good. It's good for those that are listening. Make sure to subscribe. Go to throwdownshow.com. That's throwdownshow.com, and make sure to subscribe. And you can find them on any podcast app, like you were saying. And please let Tony know that you got, you know, a suggestion from GTR to sign up. All right, cool.
Yeah, please do. That'll be awesome. Yeah. I always love when I was like, yo, I'll be listening to Gamertag, and I decided to check you out. Now I'm a fan of Throwdown. I love that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's the best. It's
international too. You know, like my one of the newest guys that I talked to a lot. His name is Dumeke, right? Which is actually like a Maori saying meaning too much, which is like a good thing. You know, it's like, oh, that's too much. You know, so I'm like, that's dope. We got New Zealand listening to us. I love that stuff, man.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so Tony, so the conversation that we've been talking about now on our private chat and also Twitter is this is the question that I think it was an article from Forbes. I think there's multiple articles about it too from other places. What if PlayStation 5 or Xbox One launches at $499? Is it $499 or $699? Wait, was it five?
$599.
Okay, $599. My bad. $599 will be a disaster. Do you think people will still buy it? I mean, we were going back and forth about the whole thing. Now, the thing that I was telling Paris and you during our private conversation, I was like, look, is it going to be a disaster like it's over for the company? No. But I did say that there are going to be some hardcore fans that are going to buy no matter what, right? But I also said this, the majority of the gamers are not going to buy it at that price. They are going to wait until it's cheap. The reason why I say that is, you know, we could go back to the PlayStation 3 days when they launched. It was very expensive during that time.
There was one version, the 20 gig version was $499. Then the 60 gig version that had all the bells and whistles was $599.
Yeah. So it hurt Sony in the beginning, right? Xbox released Xbox 360 and it was cheaper. So people were buying that, you know. But what helped Sony, it was multiple things. A couple years later, they released a Slim. They removed a couple features to make it even cheaper, the console. The price went down. But the most important thing was the content that they were releasing for that console, which helped a lot. And PlayStation Plus, I think, helped out a lot because now you subscribe to PlayStation Plus, you get free games every month, two free games also. So that's the conversation. So what I've read on Twitter where you guys were going back and forth with a lot of these followers of you guys, yeah, a lot of them were really, really mad. They're like, yeah, I'll buy it. Who cares? Like, we have to support. I'm like, yo, like, dude, it's your money. You could do whatever you want. That's more power to you, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying, and it's true, if we go back and do research through history, the majority of people wait until the price is cheap. So what do you have to say about that? Because we're going to go from there and start our conversation, man.
Yeah, so yeah, that was basically what's going on. Like, it was Forbes. I put out that article, and Paris was the one that actually responded to it first, right? Mm-hmm. And then I responded to his tweet, and I agree with him. I'm like, yeah, like, you know, if you go through history, right? And we're gonna take you guys back, you know, on a journey right now, people, right? Every console that's released for $500, historically speaking, has not done very well, right? We're talking about the CDI. We're talking about the 3DO, right? The only ones that did pretty okay were the PS4. Xbox Series X did pretty well. It didn't fail, right? Mm-hmm. But that, historically speaking, has always been a price point that the average consumer will not jump into, right? And a lot of the rebuttals from people were saying, oh, but we live in a different time now. $600 doesn't mean the same as it did when the PS3 came out. I don't disagree with that. We all know that, but that's still $600, right? For a regular person going into Best Buy, Target, whatever, wherever they sell consoles, that's a steep price. Mm-hmm. No one's going to go in there and just buy systems. And they're going to be like, oh, you're going to say that the PlayStation is going to fail right off the jump? Like, no, it won't. Just like with the PS3, right? That was a success in the first month or two, because obviously all the hardcore guys bought it. What happened after that? Mm-hmm. None of the regular consumers bought it. The PlayStation 3 didn't really start becoming a hit until it was $399 when that price dropped. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, that's you know, as Sony knows, man. Think about it like this: they put out the PS4 $399. They could have put out the PS4 Pro for $499. They didn't. $399 again, sold out. Right, that's the magic ticket right there, because that doesn't kill your wallet. Like, and here's the other thing: excuse me, because you know this frustrates me so much. People love to compare consoles to cell phones like they're the same thing, right? They're like, oh, but people buy $1,000 cell phones, why would they buy a $600 console? I'm going to explain to you why, right? First of all, you don't need a console at all. Like, you don't need that for your entertainment. You know, you don't need that for life. It's just a luxury, right? You need a cell phone in this day and age. You cannot really live without one. That is just a necessity. And most of the time, right? Actually, no, pretty much all the time, if you buy a $1,000 cell phone, you pay for it $20 a month, right? Mm-hmm. The console, till this day, correct me if I'm wrong out there, people, till this day, people still buy consoles in one lump sum. So think about it. What's easier to swallow, $20 a month or $600 right there on the spot, right? Again, this is for the average person. That's a lot of money. They're not going to do that. So if they go to the store this fall, they're going to buy the cheaper console. That's just how it is. And Danny, like you said, you're right. There were other factors that helped the PlayStation 3 down the line, right? But you cannot say that price didn't hurt it, because it definitely did. And history will repeat itself. And I do want to add that article was just speculative. I do not believe those are going to be the prices of either console. Microsoft and Sony would be insane to go beyond $499. And here's the other thing, Danny. These guys are forgetting something very important that's happening in the world. The whole COVID thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a factor, right? People have lost their jobs or they're taking pay cuts. Things are not easy right now. It would be, I'm just going to say, it would be irresponsible to release consoles that are that expensive during a time when people need entertainment, you know? So because of that, you know, history, because of the COVID situation, there is no way that these consoles are going to be more than $499. No way in heck. And, you know, I know these guys are saying, oh, no, but, you know, what about PC parts? What about this, that, and the thing? No, it doesn't matter. No one, the average consumer is not going to be paying those prices. No way. You know, and think about this. You and I, we're hardcore guys. We're in the industry and everything. Even we're questioning that stuff. Like, that ain't worth it. And that's another thing too. Why are you buying these consoles at launch, right? What's the game that's going to get you to buy these consoles? We've talked about this before on a previous episode when you and I did together, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing really coming out. So that's even less incentive to spend that kind of money, you know? So, but it's just very frustrating to see people out there just like, you know, like dismissing, like, $600, I ain't nothing. You know, I could afford it. You know, it's like, no, it's not just about you, bro. Yes, you can afford it. The average person, even if they can't afford it, they're not going to do it anyway because they have other priorities to take care of.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple things there. We're not saying that if you buy the console, that's a bad thing. You could do whatever you want. You know, me personally, yeah, Tony, and I mentioned this to Paris, I am one of those hardcore people that I just love new tech. So, yeah, I'll go and buy it because that's me, right? But let's say I was not a journalist. I was just there, like, I don't have a lot of money. I probably will wait and continue playing my Xbox One until I have the money, or maybe I'll wait until the right content that comes out. The thing is that people shouldn't be taking it personal if we have these type of opinions, because I think a lot of us said the same thing when the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One was launching back in 2013, that we could wait. And I waited for the PlayStation 3. I waited until Infamous came out, Second Son. And that's when I bought a PlayStation 4. So, you know, it's okay to wait. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be in stores. It's going to be fine, you know. But that's one. Two, I know you said about PC parts. Dude, that's like a very small minority of people that actually spends a lot of money to upgrade their PC. It's not the majority. Again, the majority of people will go to Best Buy without buying PC parts. They just buy a PC. They don't even look at the specs. They're like, oh, it's a good computer. Okay, I'll buy that. Am I right, Tony? A lot of people will do that and go to the store and buy it. Actually, my cousin, her son, his birthday was a couple weeks ago. She hit me up. Hey, Danny, can you recommend me any like PC? You know, I was going to give her some sites for them to build and everything. They couldn't take it anymore. They went to Best Buy and they just bought a PC there. I don't know what type they bought, but, you know, and I think they cost them like $1,000 something. You know, so yeah. Again,
I mean, I used to do that too back in the day, like,
yeah,
because I build my PCs now, or rather, I select my parts and have somebody build it for me. But I used to do that too. Just go to store, like, okay, what's a good PC? Buy it, and that's it. And that's average person. That's what they do. A lot. Right? The average person doesn't want to deal with a lot of hassle. They just want to go into a store, select whatever they want, pay their money, and leave, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's not, you know, it's not a bad thing at all. You know, we just giving out our opinion because, like you said, it is the truth. People are not going to buy a console if it's too expensive. They're just going to wait. Now, if the digital version of the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series S, if that's going to be cheap, the majority of people are going to buy that more than the most expensive ones. It's a fact. That's going to happen because it's cheap. Parents, when they go to the store, they're going to look for the hot new thing and whatever is cheap. They're not going to buy the most expensive thing. They're not going to do that. Not going to do that. And people also have to understand about that. It's not, and for the love of God, do not take that personal, because it's the truth. It's a business, and it's been happening since the beginning of the whole video game. Like when it first launched back in the days, people will buy the cheap one. You know when I got an Atari 2600, Tony? You were never going to guess. The Atari 2600 was going out of business, and they were selling it for $50 per console. My grandmother bought three consoles, one for me, one for my one cousin, and the other one for another cousin of mine. That's how we got an Atari. I got the Atari, then Nintendo came out, and I wanted a Nintendo. And I remember my mom looked at it. She looked at the price. Nah, we're not going to buy that. You already have a console. I'm like, no. You know what I'm saying? So that's a perfect example. $50 or $299 in the 80s. Which one you will go as a parent? You're going to go
You're going to go for $50.
Exactly. They don't care about the specs and graphics. They don't care about that back in the days. You know what I'm saying? So just want to mention that very quick. But
I do want to throw this in because you made me aware of this, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that the Nintendo, we're talking about the original Nintendo Entertainment System, sold more than the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And just like you said, why? Because that system was cheaper than the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I mean, when it first launched, it was expensive, but they also started selling it for cheap. And what helped Nintendo was the bundle, having Super Mario Brothers and Dunk Hunt with the gun and the controller all in there. That sold more than the version that they came out back in the days with the robot and everything, man. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, the original Nintendo's outsold Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo, I think, was like number four, something like that, or number three. I think it's fourth console most sold. Yeah, insane, man. Insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. So, Tony, I mean, what else from this conversation you think it stood out to you about, you know, about the price and everything that you felt? Like, man, I got to talk about this.
Yeah, it was just basically, you know, what I said before. It's like, it's just weird to me and frustrating that these guys, you know what it is, you know, and I could understand it. Like, when you're a hardcore gamer, core gamer, whatever you want to call it, you live in a kind of bubble. You only really talk to other people that are like you, right? So you start to believe that that's how the larger gaming world is, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact is that we are actually in the minority when it comes to like the hard games. We're the guys that buy the games on day one. We buy the systems on day one. We do all that stuff, right? That is not the majority of people. The majority of people are just regular people who just sometimes play games. They like to have a console around. Oh, I heard PlayStation's good. I'll buy that. Oh, Xbox is good. I'll buy that. They're not really thinking too hard about it, you know? Mm-hmm. Those are the people that ultimately make games successful. I'm talking about everything. Think of what are the most top-selling games every year, right? Sports games, right? Yeah. Guys like us, we don't really mess with them that much like some of these other guys do, but those are the games that sell the most, right? And I, you know, I do want to say to everybody listening, you know, if you're like me and Danny, please look outside of your gaming bubble and look at the wider world, right? Look how big mobile games are. I don't really mess with those type of games, right? But those make a lot of money. That's what people want. People like simplicity, like a cheap price. And also, why do mobile games sell so well, right? Either they cost you a dollar or they're free. You know, price is a big factor. And, you know, just to add on what you said about parents, right? Because, you know, yes, that's obviously a factor. But also just the regular person, just a regular cat. They go into a store. $500, $400. Oh, that one doesn't have any disc in it, but do I really need disc? I don't use this when I use Netflix, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll buy that one instead, you know? So, and that's the other point I wanted to make, right? Because a lot of people, you know, at least, again, my followers, which are mostly hardcore guys, they're like, I don't need the digital version. I want the physical one. I want to have my games. I'm like, okay, that's you. I guarantee you that's going to be the best-selling system in the end of the day, the cheaper digital one. Because, most, again, most people don't care about that stuff. They want easy access to their games, you know? But yeah, my final point is, like, all these conversations about consoles being $600, they don't really, it doesn't go anywhere because they're not going to be $600.
No, they're not.
I guarantee
they're
you
not.
That. No way, no way, no way, no way, you know? Yeah. So, you know, if you can't afford both, make your selection and wait for the other one to drop. And that's the other thing. These console prices, no matter what they release right now, this fall, they're going to drop regardless, you know, and maybe by then we're going to have some more worthwhile games. And again, if you want to hear me and Danny talk about that, you could refer to one of our previous episodes where we talked about how the consoles don't really have too much at launch this year, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, it's just interesting to see these conversations all the time. It's like some of these guys, they want the console to be $600 so they could just boast about it. Yeah, man, I spent $600 on this joint.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay, good for you, bro. Good for you.
Yeah, that part I don't get. That part I really don't get. But hey, everybody's going to do their own thing, which is fine, you know?
Yeah.
But what let me ask you this, because I think the other day I saw a tweet, I think it was from an article, that says something that PlayStation is going to have the best launch lineup in PlayStation's history. Now, is that just a PR thing? Or do you actually think they're going to have the best launch lineup for PlayStation ever? Because if we go back in history, the console, every time the console launches, it's not that great, the launch titles at all. Every single PlayStation launch has been kind of weak. So what makes this one better than the previous ones? Is it because they're going to have multiple games or what?
Yeah, I mean, okay, here's the funny thing, because when I saw the headline, that's how I originally interpreted it, as PlayStation 5 is going to have the best launch lineup. But then when I read the article, it didn't actually say that, Danny. You know what it said? It said PlayStation 5 is going to have the best lineup. So they're talking about the whole lifetime of the system, right?
Oh, the whole lifetime. So why people made it seem like it was just a launch lineup?
I don't know why they did that. But when you've read it, they said the whole lineup. But it still doesn't take away from the fact that I still think, because I said this on Twitter and I got a lot of heat for it, right? Yeah. I still believe, whether you say that about the launch lineup or the lineup overall, you can't be saying that at this point in time, you know? So to answer your question, yes, I do think it's PR talk. Like I don't want to hear you say it. I want you to show it to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And it is too early. The system isn't even out yet and you're already boasting that. It's like, yes, I understand you guys are going to have games like Horizon 2, I keep forgetting the name of the game, for Forbidden West, I believe. You're going to have a God of War. You're probably going to have another Uncharted. You're probably going to have another Last of Us. Yes, those games are going to come. That's fantastic. But at this stage, you shouldn't be saying stuff like that. And maybe it's just a personal thing, Danny. I don't like when companies do that. I understand you want to boast about your system. You want to, you know, make it look great or whatever. But we all know that may not come true. You know, the PlayStation 5 may have the worst lineup ever. We don't know that. So I just have a personal thing against it. I remember when Xbox did something similar. It's like the greatest game lineup or something, which was 2015.
Oh, yes, I remember, you know, when that. They had,
remember that? I'm like, that irked me too. I'm like, don't say stuff like that, guys, because it's going to come back to bite you.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, I mean, it's all PR marketing stuff. So I get it. Now, perfect example, when Halo Infinite was announced it got delayed, what was the first thing that Microsoft did the next day once they announced it? They said, we're going to have over 1,000 games or whatever, playable, biggest launch lineup ever in the history of Xbox. Like, it's PR stuff. It's PR marketing. You know, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. That's how a lot of these companies do that to promote their products. Because they could actually say that they have the backup. Like, hey, look, this is all the games that we have available. So technically, it is kind of true. It's just, I feel like it's kind of exaggerated the way how they say it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, yeah. And then my thing is, like, you know, because again, you know, since you and I, you know, have been doing this forever, right? We know what PR talk is and we don't, right? And I think a lot of our listeners know too. But the thing is, there are some people out there that take these words so literally,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like they don't take it for what it is. It's just PR talk, you know. And that's the main reason I don't like that, because I know that dudes are gonna run wild with it, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true.
It's funny, man. But no, it's like, again, we're too early. We're not even at the launch yet. We're not there yet. So just to say that type of stuff is just really weird, you know. And it's like, bro, show me the games, because even for this fall, you're not impressing me. No. Miles Morales is not a reason to get a PS5. Yo, by the way, I've been getting so much heat because of that.
About what? Like,
people, because I've been, I'm not going to say critical, but I haven't been as enthusiastic about Spider-Man Miles Morales, because I'm calling it what it is. It's an expansion game that at least in my opinion, I think it was originally on PS4 and it just got up jumped to be a PS5 because PS5 doesn't have anything, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm just calling it as it is. I'm pretty sure the game's going to be fantastic. I'm going to play it. I'm pretty sure I'll get the Platinum Trophy. I'm going to go all out. But I'm calling the game what it is, you know. But I've gotten a lot of people, you know, like hating on me and stuff. I had to mute my own threads because, you know, just like Paris has, like, yo, come on, guys. Like, this isn't a reason to be excited for this system, you know, as far as I'm concerned. Something like Ratchet and Clank, I think, is, because that actually introduced like a mechanic you can't do with this generation, and a whole like space ripping mechanic and stuff where you're jumping around and stuff. I'm like, okay, I haven't seen anything like that in the current gen. I realize that Spider-Man has some like dual sense features, which is dope, but like, that's not a reason, man. I'm sorry, that is not a reason to buy it's probably gonna be, yeah, because it's gonna be $500 for a $500 system. Nah, you know.
Yeah.
But going back to the original thing, yeah, it's all PR talk about you know it being the greatest lineup ever. It's like, word, because PS2 had a pretty good lineup, man.
Oh yeah.
You know, legendary.
Yeah. And plus DVD, yeah. Plus DVD player.
That's you're right about that, you know. Yeah. You can count all those movies in there, so it's like, yeah, that's gonna be hard to top, you know. So I, again, don't take those things with a grain of salt, people. Don't take it too seriously. Yeah. Man,
see, this is the thing, man, like, what's up with both companies still quiet? Tony, have you ever seen a launch for any console in the history of games 2 months before it supposedly releases? There's no price, no date, nothing yet. We're technically going to go to September and we still don't know the date or the price. So,
yo, I'm glad you bring this up, man, because yeah. I'm going to do this now on GTR, right? We actually did talk about this on a recent episode, Throwdown.
Okay.
It was actually during our questions podcast. One of the you know, listeners just asked us, hey, when do you think they're going to announce the price? Because we have to keep going back to this, because we all originally said, oh, they're going to launch them by August. August is over. It's done. So I'm going to say this right now on GTR. I think we're going to get the prices either in late September or, Danny, even early October. I think they're really going to push it for this. And if people out there go, no, Tony, that's too close, the Switch didn't get its price announced until a little over a month before it came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they had.
So it's possible.
They had the, was it October? They had like the reveal and then they released it. Was it like that?
They released it in March. I don't know when the reveal was, but the console came out March of 2017 and they revealed the price, I think, in late January around, you know? Mm-hmm. Around that time, so it was very close, right? But again, here's my question to you now: why do you think these both of them, Microsoft and Sony, are waiting for so long, right? Because the way I see it, there's two possible scenarios, and it could be both at the same time. Mm-hmm. Either it's the COVID situation or the prices are too high. It could be one or it could be both. So what do you think is making them wait so long?
It's both, and the reason is the economy is not looking good. And they're waiting, both companies are waiting to see who's going to be the first to announce the price. Personally, for me, Sony, they're number one. Who cares what Xbox is doing? Just announce it. That's it. You're the leader right now. Why wait, yeah, right? Xbox, if they're really confident, why they should wait for Sony? Just announce the price. If you're really confident with the price that you have for the console. That's what I see. So like a lot of people are saying, they're playing the game of chicken right now because they're waiting to see who's going to do what. I think is this. I think that Xbox has a price for that console, right? I think they're going to wait as long as possible. Like right now, September, guaranteed we're going to know the price. We are going to know both consoles, the release date and the price. Xbox is waiting for Sony to make the announcement just in case they could adjust the price, because they could do it. Sony is more of like, yes, we're the leader, but we don't want to mess it up. Let's wait to see what Xbox is going to do. I can't see Sony adjusting the price. I can see that with Xbox because they could easily get that money in return with Xbox Game Pass. Sony is just being super careful. And the good thing is they have a digital version, which that one could easily be cheaper than the one with the disc drive. So they could easily announce that as a cheaper price. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I'm wondering what's going to happen because of all this. You know what I'm saying? So, but I think September.
Okay, September. Again, I think September is going to be too, probably even late September. Here's another question I've been thinking about too, right? Mm-hmm. If, because, you know, you've been saying this specifically, how you think the Xbox One S is going to be $300, right? Is that what you said?
I said between $199, $299. The most.
Gotcha. Okay, so if that's the case, right, that's below the sweet spot. That's even better. That's even sweeter, right? So if that's the case, why hasn't Microsoft come out to say that? Because, you know, again, I'm not a business person. I've never been in a CEO or anything, you know, because some people say that. Oh, Tony, are you a game developer? Tell us why. You know, whatever. It's like, okay, so I don't know any of that business stuff, right? But in my estimation, as just a regular consumer, I'm like, yo, if I had a console that cost $199, $299, I'd announce that right now, start getting pre-orders, because Sony ain't topping those prices. No way. You know, no, and Microsoft has to know that. Sony, you know, yes, they're the industry leader. That's why I don't see them releasing the digital version for less than $399. But Microsoft, if the S is $299 or $199, I don't understand why they don't just announce it now. You know, really just blow the gates out the water, you know?
So let me ask you this. If the Xbox Series S, make believe, what if it's $199? Do you think that is going to change a lot of people's minds that didn't buy the Xbox One during this generation? You think that will help them decide, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to buy this version instead.
Yeah, $199 plus a free year of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate.
A couple months of Game Pass. Bro. Three months.
I'm not going to say, obviously, it's not going to get all the PlayStation guys to convert over, but it's going to get a good chunk of people. It's going to get a good chunk of people to be like, you know what? I got $199 and Xbox Game Pass. I've heard a lot about this. I'm going to try this out. I think that'll be a good weapon for Microsoft to use. So if it's true, if it comes out at that price, I don't understand why they don't announce it now. Just get ahead of Sony. It's like, all right, man, what you got, Sony? Because they know Sony can't answer that price, you know? But yeah, that's what I think. I think that'll be a big hit if it comes out at that price. But if that's the case, I don't understand why Microsoft isn't saying anything at this point.
Okay. Is there anything else from the stuff that we talked about?
Now, I believe that was it. It was a little bit more heated yesterday. You know, off air, we go nuts, you know. But I think I pretty much said what I needed to, you know. But when it comes to the consoles, yeah, it's a weird year. You know, here's the thing. It would have been a weird year even without the COVID stuff when it came to these consoles because, you know, and I said this before this whole stuff went down back in January. I'm like, this is going to be a very odd year for gaming because we all know that these systems are not really going to have a lot of exclusives. We knew this back then that they weren't going to have a lot of exclusives, right? But now things have changed, you know, but, you know, and you and I have talked about this before, right? Like, and this is after everything normalizes, right? The console... Everything with the consoles is going to start off the way you kind of know it. Here's two systems. They're battling it. They're battling it out. But as the console generation progresses, and I'm specifically talking about Xbox right now, things are going to start changing, especially if they start getting the word out about Xbox Game Pass and make Xbox Game Pass more viable to buy. Because right now, you know, that's one of the things I've really been thinking about this. And I don't want to sound like a Xbox hater when I say this. I'm just being honest right now. Right now, even with their first party lineup, they don't have a lot of compelling games to get the mainstream in there. Once they do, I think things will change. Because I thought about it. It's not the problem isn't Game Pass itself. It's a good service. If Nintendo had something like that, if Sony had something like that, it would be a success right off the bat. Xbox needs more compelling games. So once that starts happening, Xbox Game Pass, then this generation is going to start becoming a lot more interesting. But yo, right now, yo, if they launch a console at $299, that's gonna make things very interesting. And Sony, you have to rethink their strategy because right now, like you said, they're the industry leader, so they don't really need to budge. They don't need to buckle or anything. But Look what happened last time with the end of the PS2 when they were at the top, right? They thought they could do whatever they wanted. Mm-hmm. That didn't turn out so well with the PS3. So as long as Sony doesn't get cocky, I think they'll be all right. Just keep doing what you're doing. But at the same time, you also have to maybe change your course if you need to, because right now what you've been doing has been working out, and it seems like it may work out again. You got to be careful, especially if Xbox comes out and does some swerve stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it just surprises them.
Well, here's one thing I have to say. You know, the month of August, there's been a lot of games that has been coming out for Xbox that's also available on Xbox Game Pass that's been getting great reviews. So, for example, Grounded, not high reviews, but it's like people been talking about it. It went viral, you know, for PC, Steam, yeah, console, Xbox, right? Then after that was Battletoads. Again, that was a game that there was people that liked it, some people that it was okay with it, didn't like it, you know, mixed. But Flight Simulator, tens everywhere, right? Great, great reviews. A lot of websites been talking about it nonstop, right? Tell Me Why comes out tomorrow by the time you listen to this. And most likely we'll see what happens if that's going to get, you know, high reviews or not. But today I just saw the reviews for Wasteland 3. And it's been getting nines and tens. And I think this is going to be the beginning for the service like that. If Xbox could continue to start releasing content like that, that it doesn't have to be all AAA, because there's going to be a time that we're going to be playing AA games, indie games, AAA, and now the new one, what is it, 5A or?
Oh, no, it's a quadruple A game.
Yeah, something like that. But if we're going to start seeing that, I think that's when the service is going to be even worth it, because you have the opportunity to try out. There's going to be a lot of new content. There's going to be games that studios are just experimenting, and it might become a hit, maybe not. But at least they're trying to figure things out. And I think Xbox acquiring all these studios, I see the potential now. I see it. I see the potential in the future of all these studios releasing top-notch games for the service. It's going to take some time. Remember, they just acquired these studios. It's going to take some time. Just want to mention that. Another thing is the initiative. You know, the rumor is about Perfect Dark that game.
Yeah, that's the quadruple A game right there. That's the one they're talking about.
Yeah, so supposedly this is going to be a third-person view type game, which I'm fine with that if it's true. That's one. But another thing too, Tony, it is possible that they're also working on another project that we don't know, or maybe multiple projects that we don't know yet. That's possible too for that studio. The rumors about Halo Infinite not being on Xbox One and it's going to come out 2022, Yesterday was confirmed that's not true. That's like a fake rumor. It's still going to launch on Xbox One, and it's still coming out in 2021. So I'm like, okay, all right, that's good. That's good. But I don't know what it is. There's so many crazy rumors right now about that game. But the good thing is 343 will go the next day and kill that noise right away, which is good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because there was a lot of banter. And Paris and I, you know, again, you know, Paris and I are always causing trouble on Twitter by posting our opinions, even though I'm not saying anything salacious, neither is Paris. We're just saying how we feel about it. But we both said that, you know, obviously it's a rumor now, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah. But, you know, at the time we were saying that if the rumor was true, which it isn't, that is a good thing. We want games built specifically for next gen. We don't, you know, this is me right now. I don't really like the whole idea of cross gen. I want games specifically for one system, just like the way it used to be. It's like you get a new console, get games that you cannot play on your old joints, you know. So that I thought that would have been a good thing. But if 343 can make it work, then that's fine, you know. But I did say this, Danny, because here's a very smart way of getting around this, right? And you could tell me about this. I'm not 100% sure. xCloud is eventually going to come to Xbox, right?
Wait.
Because right now it's just
xCloud,
you know, Project xCloud will eventually be playable on an Xbox, right? Because right now it's just on your Android, on your phone. Mm-hmm. Okay, so think about it like this, right? Because you know, the whole thing with Microsoft is they don't want to leave gamers behind, right? Project xCloud is how you don't leave gamers behind, right? Let's just say, again, this is just me speculating. There's a game that's only available on the Series X that you cannot play on your Xbox One natively, but if you have Project X Cloud, you can play it on your Xbox. You can play next-gen games on your current joint without sacrificing anything. You know, so that's another reason. I keep coming back to this. There's another reason to sign up to Game Pass, because you get X Cloud and you have access to all these games. So think about this. Even 2 or 3 years from now, because there's people like this, they don't buy their systems for a long time, right? Somebody's sitting at home, chilling. They got their old-school VCR Xbox One, right? Day one launch, right? They're playing Halo Infinite 2 or something, you know, because of Project X Cloud. So, you know, that's another way of how they don't leave people behind. But you also don't hold developers back and you let them do what they need to with these new systems instead of trying to, you know, make something that works on an old console natively, you know? So I think that'll be a smart idea. But with Halo Infinite, no, we already squashed it. And you're right. I'm glad that 343 came out to just say it, because this would have just turned into, you know, craziness. It was just out for one day and it was already getting nuts, you know? So I'm glad they got it in front of it, because this industry relies too much on rumors sometimes and it gets a little tiring, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so
definitely.
I'm glad they squashed it, you know? So yeah, what's your take on that real quick, Danny? Where they, you know, basically companies could just be like, you know what, we're not going to make this game available on Xbox One, but it'll be on Xbox Project X Cloud and people could play it that way. What's your take on that?
I like that theory, but the only thing where I disagree, unless they have that available for free for all Xbox One owners to stream that. Yeah. Because here's the thing. Right now, the only way you could play Project X Cloud for free is if you have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. You don't have Ultimate, Project X Cloud is not free at all. You have to pay for that.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why I disagree with you on that. Like, I could see Xbox adding that to the console where people could still play, get more subscribers. They could still do that. But I think if you have that game available for streaming and they don't have Project S, they don't have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, is a PR disaster, I think.
You need it. You need to have Project X Cloud. You cannot just do it for free. That, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, if you're an Xbox One owner and you have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which has Xbox Project X Cloud already embedded into it, you could play those games. I'm not saying that you could just play free. But obviously not, you know.
But what about those that don't have it?
They can't play the games. Simple as that. That's just how it is, man.
That's, you know, the only problem. But I think the reason why Xbox wants to have the consoles plus Project X Cloud Mobile and every other device, people that sign to Xbox Game Pass, even PC, they want more people to be part of the service. So I think just having it only for next gen, it just doesn't make sense the way how they're planning to release this game and have the multiplayer for free. They want as many people as possible part of the service for that game. Now, later in the future, when you see all these games that's coming out only for next gen, okay, I completely understand why they're doing it. By the way, breaking news.
Uh-oh.
This is breaking news right now because I'm looking at Twitter right now. So as we've been recording this, there is a Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War reveal. So here's this, Tony. Mm-hmm. Standard edition, $60. Cross-gen bundle, don't know what that means. I have to look at the press release, $70. And the ultimate edition, $80. It's coming out November 13th, which is insane. November is looking pretty insane.
November 13th is the rumored release date for the PS5, by the way.
Interesting.
Yeah. November 6th is the rumored for Xbox Series X.
Xbox.
Yeah.
So open beta coming soon. Multiplayer reveal September 9th. This is also going to have campaign. It's going to take place Turkey, Vietnam, Soviet, KGB, etc. East Berlin also. There's also a next generation, and I quote, next generation Call of Duty multiplayer, and also, of course, zombies. Yeah, so they have they posted already pictures online and everything. So I'm looking at this. I wonder what cross-gen bundle means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. It's like, if you know what I'm thinking? Again, I'm literally just hearing the news now as Danny's telling to me. I had no idea. It sounds to me like when you used to buy the Blu-rays that also have UHD/Blu-ray. So it sounds like that. Like if you buy this version of the game, it'll be playable on current gen and last gen. It'll have like the current gen features or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because I could imagine the $60 standard edition, right? You buy it on PlayStation 4, you could pop it into your PlayStation 5, and it'll run fine, right? But maybe that cross-gen edition, when you pop it into your PS5 or Xbox Series or Series X, it'll have the upgraded textures and all that. So it could be that. This is just me speculating right now. I have no idea. But that's what the first thought that comes to mind, that it could be.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Activision to send us a press release, because I always get them from them right after the like events like this.
Yeah,
but I haven't received anything yet. Maybe later on today I'll get it from them. But yeah, man, we need to talk about this, man. I'm afraid of this whole cross-gen bundle. I'm afraid of about this, man.
Yeah,
there's no smart delivery. You have to pay $70 if you are planning to have it on your original console and to the new console. So that means that doesn't, I mean, I don't, look, right now I'm just reading this on Twitter. I have no idea what this means, but let me search. I could edit this part, but let me search very quick. Cross-gen bundle. But right? Do you think that's what it is?
That's just the first thought that comes to mind. It's like, you know, if you buy the standard edition, you pop it into your next-gen console, you're not going to get any visual upgrades. The cross-gen bundle, then it will give you the upgrade.
Oh, it is. So cross-gen bundle, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, $69.99. I mean, look, it's Call of Duty. People are going to buy this.
You're going to buy it. You're going to buy
it. All right. So look, this is a quote that I found right now on online. Buy this digital Xbox version of Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War from the Microsoft Store and download it. Xbox Series X version at no extra cost when it launches. But it's $69.99.
Wow. Yo. And because remember,
how's that not at no cost? You're still charging more.
Yeah, you're right about that. What, yo, I mean, again, we're literally just hearing this now. This is going to blow up on Twitter, man. Watch.
I mean, it's Call of Duty, so people are going to like, okay, whatever. But remember, smart delivery on Xbox, that's optional. Companies are not going to do that every single game. It's up to them if they're going to do that. Like Cyberpunk, CD Projekt Red, they decide to do that, to have it. You buy it on Xbox, it's going to be free on Xbox Series X. They're doing the same thing for the PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
The same exact thing with no charge, right? But a lot of these companies, they know a lot of people are going to start doing that, and that's why they're charging a little bit more, $10 extra.
Yeah, wow. That's it's weird how they say at no additional cost, but it is an additional charge.
It's $10. It's $10 extra.
That makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. I'm really curious to see the reaction to this. Remember what's it, NBA 2K, right? People were like, "Oh, wow, it's going to be $7." Obviously, 2K they walked that back. I don't see Activision walking that back, because they're going to be like, "Hey, listen, you still got the $60 version, you know?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Next gen, man, like I said, it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. Very weird. All right, Tony, man, I know we talked a lot here.
Yeah.
But it was a great conversation overall, right?
Of course, man. I always love talking to you, you know, and informing the fans what's going on, you know, get a little knowledge out there, especially when it comes to console price. Again, you guys, do your history, man. That's all I got to say. Do your history. Look how these things have played out in the past, you know. But yeah, no, thanks for having me on. You know, a lot of fun. And I'm pretty sure we're gonna have more conversations, because again, this console generation is gonna be pretty wild, man. It's gonna start off a little bit like, you know, but then it's gonna change to something else, man.
Yeah, definitely, man. Look, everybody, if you like this conversation, Tony has all these type of conversation with his crew, the Throwdown Podcast. Make sure to subscribe and tell Tony it was me. I sent you over there, man.
Yes, yes.
I sent you over there, man. Subscribe and support, man. You know what I'm saying? We need support from everybody, man. Everybody, you could also follow me on Twitter, Godfrey. Tony, what's your Twitter account so people can follow you?
Yeah, it's Romudeth. That's Romudeth.
Yeah, if you want to be part of the debate or conversation, make sure to follow Tony. And yeah, we're always going back and forth. But the past few days, Tony, I just gave up. I'm like, I'm not going to reply back to all these. I'm just... If maybe directed to you guys, but like to other people that just want to like argue and not have a no more conversation about all this, I'm not going to reply, man. I'm done with this whole, whole back and forth stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Well, dude,
conversation is fine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But think about it. This this very episode we recorded right now, what was it born out of? Because we didn't want to engage with all that Twitter stuff. So we just had a private conversation. We talked like, yeah, you know what? We should record this, you know, because I'd rather have a conversation. I'm not trying to say I want to live in a bubble, but I'd rather have a conversation that actually goes somewhere. And a lot of these cats, especially now, like, it just doesn't seem like they really want to have a real conversation. They just want to go out there and just start something. But obviously, yeah, if you do want to have a real conversation, I'm always down. You know, follow me on Twitter. You know, if you're coming at me with some good info and not starting nothing, I'll definitely talk, man, because, you know, that's important to, you know, have conversations out there. But when it comes to all this nasty stuff, no, I don't want to deal with that anymore. I'm done with that stuff.
At all. Like the other day, Tony, I was I saw a video of like these kids playing Battletoads, right? And it reminded me us, Tony, playing Double Dragon, Streets of Rage, all the, when we were young, right? These were like difficult games. Kung Fu for the original NES, you know.
Battletoads, like bro.
I remember the original Battletoads. That was tough, right?
Yep.
So they put I put up the tweet. I'm like, see, this was gaming is all about. It's about having fun. Forget about the reviews. There's gonna be games that other websites gonna say 5 out of 10. But you're going to like it. Maybe you like it. Maybe you're that person that are just going to enjoy that game. Who cares about the reviews, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, gaming is all about just having a good time yourself, with your friends, or with your family. So I posted that, and there was people replying back, oh, this game was made for kids. I'm like, no, that's not the point, what I was saying, man. That's the type of thing I'm talking about, man. Look at the videos. Look at these kids smiling, playing these games. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Battletoads. It could be any game.
But it's funny. Man. You got in trouble for that too.
Yeah. Something that I posted positive for us to talk about and share that to the world. Because, dude, this year has been, excuse me for my language, it's been shitty as hell, man.
Yeah, man.
You know, and we need these type of games. Yo, Animal Crossing, Tony, you're not a fan of that game at all, but it brought a lot of people to this, like, a totally different world that was super happy, super excited. It's the most sold. This game sold a lot this year, and that's what I'm talking about, that we need those type of games that's just going to make us feel good about ourselves, man, good about the industry. You know, and when I see people trashing others over a piece of plastic or because it got low reviews, that's not helping the situation, man. It's not helping our industry. We could have a conversation like, oh, you know, it could be better. But at the end of the day, there's always going to be a crowd that just love those type of games. And we have to accept that. There's nothing wrong with that. And I don't want you to be bashing others because they like those type of games. That's not cool.
Yeah, you know? I don't get that, man. Yeah, like you said it, you know, Animal Crossing, I don't get the hype, but I'm really glad that the game is out there for the people that like the stuff. And more recently, Fall Guys, that's another game I played. I'm like, I don't understand this, but a lot of people are really loving it, enjoying it, and I think that's a good thing, so I don't see the point of bashing other people just because of the games they like. It makes absolutely no sense. That's not what we're here for, you know? It's like, yeah, you got kids out there, they're enjoying these games, and you got old men, like, complaining. I was going to say another word. They're complaining about games. Like, what are you guys doing, man? Come on, son.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, it makes no sense at all, man, at all. But head over to Gamertag Radio. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Go over there, subscribe, follow us, post a review, and share it with your friends and family. And you could even text them the episode. Tell them, hey, listen to this. That will help us out too. Also, if you'd like to be part of our fan mail discussion, if there's something you probably disagree with us here, send us an email, send us a voicemail. We'll continue the conversation. Maybe Tony will be on, maybe Tony will not, but I will continue the conversation for sure.
Yes.
All right. And here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, another thing too, shout out to the crew over there, Achievement Hunters at Rooster Teeth. I was on Keeping the Lights on season 2 premiere. I was there and I talked a little bit about Gamertag Radio and about Next Gen. I also told them about my Xbox Series S theory about selling it without the controller. They were like, oh man, never thought about that. I'm like, hey, who knows? Might happen, might not, but hey, it's a cool theory. But shout out to Jack and the whole crew over there at Rooster Teeth. And it was a lot of fun recording that episode. All right, until next time, Tony, one more time. Podcast, mention it one more time.
All right, so you could check me out at Throwdown Show. We are literally on every podcast app out there. So whatever your favorite podcast app is, make sure you type in Throwdown Show. That's Throwdown Show, two words, and you're going to find us. And we're also on Twitch, Throwdown Show, and we're everywhere, Throwdown Show, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Throwdown Show, you can find us. And again, you can find me over on Twitter at Romudeth, that's R-O-M-U-D-E-T-H. And if you look at my bio, you see links to all the places I write for. That's PC Mag and Laptop Mag. So, and obviously, if you want to have a conversation, civil conversation with me, people, hit me up, man. Let's talk.
Definitely, man. All right, Tony, thanks a lot, man. You know, I love talking to you, man.
Yeah, man, I love it. This is awesome.
All right, until next time. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.